Welcome back to part two of Unpacking Comparison with Shanna Rehm. Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain, and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here.
Discontentment, pride, and envy, I would say, are the biggest three that not only I've seen in my life, but I've witnessed in the lives of others.
Sure. And envy, you know, envy is something that grows and multiplies. Envy has no ceiling.
Yeah.
And envy drives and has driven people to hatred. It has driven people to murder.
Yeah.
And that is why it is so key. Like, we're not just talking about this. These are real things that we have to address, because this struggle is a gateway. A lot of the struggles that we have that sin brings, they're gateways. And that's why God urges us, we're commanded to obey His commands. It's not just to follow rigid rules, but it's a form of protection.
Right.
Because so many things can lead to so many other things. Shanna, you had a perspective that, you had a perspective that I had not thought of, even as I was kind of just thinking about what this episode was going to be about. Now, obviously, when we think about comparison, you know, the majority of times we think about the struggle that we have with comparison that makes us like downtrodden and discontent and dissatisfied. But in your example that you just gave with like the grocery store, you said comparison from a prideful place. Mm-hmm. So it is possible to be on the other side of what people might quote unquote aspire to, the measure of well-behaved children, a seamless grocery store trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we can begin to compare ourselves to others that we feel don't live up to our standards,
right,
that have been set forth. So the standard of, okay, well-behaved children during this grocery store trip. And when we see others not living up to that, we begin to judge them. We begin to look down on them. But even in doing that, we're comparing ourselves.
Right.
We're setting ourselves as the standard. And we're basically, you know, comparing how they don't measure up to what we have set forth. So
exactly.
I love that. I've never thought about that type of comparison from a prideful place. People might not think in those instances where they're looking down on someone else that they're actually comparing, but
yeah,
they are.
Absolutely.
They are.
Exactly.
So that was really interesting. I like that. That was really interesting. Biblically speaking, Shanna, what can we draw from the scriptures that speak to comparison? I love that you've already given us some scriptures to go on, but what else can we draw from scripture as we address and unpack comparison?
Well, I will tell you, fun fact about me Ephesians chapter 2 is my favorite chapter in all of the Bible. I just love that chapter. There's just, it just speaks to me every time I read it. But one of my favorite verses within that chapter is verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them." And so I'm going to give you a few Bible verses here and kind of give you some thoughts about each one. But my thought about this one is that God is a creative God. He's just so creative, and he made each of us exactly how he wanted us to be made. No mistakes.
Yeah.
We're made in the image of God, handcrafted by him. And we say things like that all the time. We're made in the image of God. You know, very common to say, even unbelievers, you know, would be able to say that or have heard that before. But how often do we really sit and think about that? We're made in the image of God, not only made in the image of God, but handcrafted by him. It's not like we're made in the image of God and we're all made exactly the same, right? Like
yeah.
He personally handcrafted each of us in our mother's wombs. And so he not only has specific purposes for you, specific purposes and plans, but also specific works for which you were specially created to walk out. And it says that God prepared these works beforehand so that we would walk in them. They're very, very specific.
Yeah.
And so it's unfruitful to compare, because your handcrafted path is your handcrafted path, and it's not for anyone but you. And that means that others' paths aren't for you either. And we need to remember that. The second Bible verse I will share is one we actually already talked about, 2 Corinthians 10:12. And that's the one that I alluded to earlier with Paul, where he says, "For we do not presume to rank or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they have no understanding." And so we see with this that comparing ourselves is never God's intention for us. And it's just downright unfruitful. It's foolish. Like we were saying, God freely gives us wisdom when we ask. Talks about that in the book of James. He freely gives us wisdom. And there is a lack of understanding when you're spending your time comparing yourselves with other people.
Yeah.
We've mentioned this too already, but we should never be the standard by which we hold someone else. You know, we just talked about that with the whole pride thing. And nor should we hold ourselves to someone else's standards as if we need to live up to somebody else. It's not our job to mentally place ourselves above or below someone else. It's not our job. That's not our place. We're to look to the Lord. He alone is the one who we're to live up to. And so in Christ, if we're in Christ, I should say, when we're in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, right?
Yeah.
So the same Spirit indwelling in me, Shanna, is also indwelling in you, Hannah, okay? The same Spirit is indwelling in each of the believers. So therefore, there is no competition. We all have the same Spirit.
Amen.
There should only be unity. The Bible talks about the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So through the sanctification process, as we're made more and more like the Lord, the goal is to become more like Jesus, not more like the Joneses next door, right? That's not the goal. And so I love that verse. I love how Paul put that, because, you know, we just can't measure ourselves against ourselves or others by ourselves. You know, it's just not, that's not our place. That's not our lane.
Yes.
And speaking of staying in our own lane, my last verse kind of alludes to that as well. And that's John 21, verse 22. And it says, "Jesus said to him, 'If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me.'" And so Jesus was speaking to one of his disciples. And basically, the point here is we need to stay in our own lane. It's not our concern what Jesus's plans are for other people. It's just not. We're not supposed to compare their life to ours or their path to ours. Jesus simply calls each of us individually to follow him. Our first priority in life as a believer is to seek the Lord for ourselves. And then we cultivate our relationship with him and we focus on the good works that he has called us to do.
Yeah.
Like what we talked about in Ephesians. And so when, you know, we're tempted to compare our life to someone else's life that looks completely different than our own, we need to stop and ask ourselves, you know, what is that to you? Hey, me, what is that to you?
I was going to say, we need to coin that phrase. That came directly from Christ's lips. I love that. I think that's a good refocusing question.
Right.
What is that to you? Okay, they seem to be thriving exactly. in something. What is that to you? They seem to be more focused mm-hmm. in something. What is that to you? They appear to be better in something. What is that to you?
Exactly.
That is so good.
Yeah, it's so key. I mean, yeah.
And I think that'll help to bring things back in focus mm-hmm. because sometimes even against the physical strength that we have in our own flesh to kind of try to come back down to earth, it's a real temptation. We don't want to undermine this in any way. People really, really struggle with comparison. Sure. And there's constant, like we are inundated with opportunities to compare ourselves to people. I think a lot of that has to do with many of the real insecurities we all have as human beings, the validation that we need as human beings, the acceptance that we need. So it's a real temptation. And I think that this is a very anchoring question. Mm-hmm. When you find that your thoughts are beginning to wander, you're beginning to ruminate, you're starting to be overwhelmed and overcome. What is that to right. you? Really? Like, how is that going to benefit your life in any
exactly.
way? What is that
yeah.
to you?
Yeah.
We can't answer that.
Right.
We sincerely can't answer that.
Exactly.
So that was good. That was good, Shanna.
Yeah, you're right. We need to coin that phrase, Hannah.
We do. What is that to
like
you?
Put it up on my wall or something. I don't know. Because it's a good reminder, like you said. It's a wonderful reminder. Bring yourself back down to earth.
Yeah. Some scriptures that I thought of, Shannon, I love those scriptures that you pulled to help us think deeply about comparison. Some other ones that I found were Galatians 6:4-5. It says, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Mm-hmm. For each will have to bear his own load.
Yes.
Ladies, we have our own loads to bear. We have our own loads that we have to give an account for.
Right.
And it's too exhausting to focus on someone else's and abandon our own load and then have to give an account for a load that we never carried.
Right.
It's too much.
Yes.
It's too much. And then I thought of Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. But my focus was really on the beginning of that verse. The Lord has made everything for its purpose.
Yeah.
I think this is another cliche saying that we hear. You were made for a purpose. I think when we hear that so many times, and then when we hear it with a certain narrative attached to it, i.e. we think purpose is something that we conjure up, not something that's given to us
sure.
by the creator.
Right.
We tend to forget that God has literally carved out your space in time. It wasn't by happenstance. You were literally made to serve a purpose as God reveals that to you, what that purpose is.
Right.
It's already carved out for you.
So, exactly. That's great.
So good. I love how the word of God, when we really dig into it, it literally speaks to the issues of life. And it may not verbatim speak to every single issue, but it talks to the heart and the posturing of the heart. And from there, it lets us know with the proper posturing of the heart, how we can view certain things and address those things.
Right. Oh, I love how you put that, the posturing of the heart. Yes, that yeah. is so good. You're right.
Yeah. So Shanna, I think the last question to kind of wrap things up, now that we have dug into comparison, we've dug into how comparison grips us, what it does to us. We've dug into what God says in his word, what it does to our relationship with him and others when we are stuck in a vicious cycle of comparison. Speak to our listeners. How can we begin to heal and overcome unhealthy comparison?
Sure. So I mentioned at the beginning, I think I mentioned that I have a very practical type of mind. If I didn't mention that, now I'm mentioning it. I have a very practical type of mind. And as I read the word, I love the way the Lord brings thoughts to my mind in terms of how exactly I can walk out what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he doesn't want us to read it just to read it, you know, and check it off on the box. No, we're done.
Yeah.
He wants us to live it out, to walk it out. And so as I was thinking about comparison, you know, I thought, well, what are some of the things that we can do to help us stop? And like you said, Hannah, heal and overcome these unhealthy things that we're doing. And one of the first things I thought of was, before I share, I have 5 points that I thought of. And before I do that, I just wanted to share that the biggest thing we need to remember is God is the author and finisher of our faith. And as we remember that, we can realize what the Lord has for us is what he has for us.
Amen.
You know, and that may look drastically different than the life of the woman next to us. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because no two faith journeys are exactly the same. They're not supposed to look exactly the same. So we need to stop expecting it to. And so the first point that I would say to help us heal and overcome comparison would be to focus on the Word. We need to focus on the Word of God. We need to prioritize our time with God. It needs to be a regular thing on our calendar. And when I say, you know, focusing on the word, yes, definitely reading the word, but also making sure that we're spending time in prayer as well. And as we study the word, we grow in his wisdom. We gain a perspective in life that truly matters. And that's his perspective.
Yeah.
And this helps us to focus more on who he is and less time on who we think we're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's freeing.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. We can't skip on the word. That's something that I talk about a lot in my blog. You know, it's so important. It's so key. A lot of the thoughts and the things that we do, the way we live our life, it just starts to get really muddy when we're not spending time in the word.
Yeah.
So it's such a big priority. So that would be number one. The second thing I would say is read Ephesians 2. And I'm not telling you that just because it's my favorite chapter in the Bible, but it's really good. But read it. Please read it. And we don't have time to read it now. I wish we did. And plus, you know, honestly, I think, you know, you need to read it for yourself. You need to read it to yourself, hear your own voice in your head, speaking God's truth to you. But how often do we stop and think about who we are in Christ? We think about how we were supposed to look, or, you know, the latest makeup trend or the outfit we're supposed to wear. But do we really sit and meditate on who we are in Christ?
Yeah.
The world wants us to think about all of the other stuff, you know, like I said, the latest fashion, or, you know, even, hey, was the lighting on my last selfie good? Let me go back and check my post. You know, all of these things that distract us.
Right.
But body types and beauty standards don't define us. Mm-hmm. Christ defines us. Mm-hmm. And when we read that in the word, it speaks life to us. So I just encourage you, you know, grab your Bible, read his word, so you don't fall for the lies. The Bible, the word of God, that's your safeguard. You know, if someone is trained to identify counterfeit money, they don't train to identify counterfeit money by studying all the counterfeits. They train to identify counterfeit money by studying the authentic money. And it's the same with our lives. The Bible is the authentic.
Yes.
So we're not going to know how to filter out the lies by just studying all the lies and listening to all the lies and reading all the lies. We're going to know how to filter out the lies by reading the authentic, the word of God, the truth. That is the only way. Once you know the truth and it's ingrained in you, it becomes a part of your everyday thoughts and everything. You'll easily be able to spot out, that is a lie. That is not who I am. That is not who I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Not just with comparisons, but honestly with anything in life. You need to study the word of God and know the truth that he is communicating to you. It's so important.
I want to add something to that, Shanna, sure. Because I often read and see and hear that reading scripture is something that some believers have a challenge with. They may find it to just be redundant. They might, you know, they might think of it as that something that you just have to check off of your list, not recognizing that one, it is life-giving. But you said something that made me think about this. You mentioned, you know, people who are being trained to find counterfeit money. I'm sure it's not that thrilling going through real money or going through, you know, sorting through authentic bills all day. It seems pretty redundant. It seems pretty like, you know,
right.
Call it what you will. But then when they spot that counterfeit stands out so much.
Right.
Then they realize that their time spent doing the mundane, doing what seemed to be monotonous, it proved to be valuable.
Right.
You know, and so there's a joy, not a joy, but a reassurance that when we are spending time soaking in the word of God, it is literally changing our, what is it? It's not only changing our spiritual makeup, but it's training us without us even realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's changing us without us even realizing it because it's making us more sensitive, more sharpened, mm-hmm. that we can detect.
Right.
And so that's just an encouragement for those of us who may find that we struggle with sitting before the word of God and ingesting it and feeding on it. You may feel that, okay, I don't understand this lingo. Okay. I've already read that account in the Bible. Continue to read it because you are being sharpened without even realizing it,
right.
To be able to detect the deception.
Yes, absolutely. I agree totally. It's so important. We can't skimp on it. We really can't.
Yeah.
So the next thing I would suggest, practically speaking, is to trust God for your contentment. You know, we talked about discontentment already, but we need to trust God for our contentment. In Philippians 4, verses 11 through 12, we're all familiar with the verse, but Paul talks about that, you know, he can be content no matter the circumstance. And that's what he was referring to when he said that he can do all things in Christ who strengthens him. You know, in Christ, we can be content. The Lord supplies us with all we need for life and godliness. And that's talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1. So when I see the word all, I don't ask what all means. All means all. In case you're not sure, all means all. And it says that the Lord supplies us with all we need for life and godliness. We have all we need for our life and to walk out a godly life. And so if we already have all we need, if he's already supplied us with all we need, then what are we envying for? What are we comparing for as if we need to have what someone else has?
Yeah.
You know, he gives us things for our enjoyment and we just need to look no further than him. We don't have to strive for it. He's already supplied us.
Amen.
And we just have to know that just because we don't have everything we want, in him we have everything we need because he says that he supplied us with all we need.
Amen.
So sometimes we need to release those things that we want or that we think we want or we think we need.
Mm-hmm.
And just rest assured, be content, and remember that he's already given us everything that we need.
Amen. Amen. Releasing those things. Maybe that'll have to be one of the things we unpack in season 4, releasing falsehoods, mm-hmm. releasing
yeah.
false comforts.
Right. Sure. The next thing I would say is live for Christ. We just need a purpose to live for Christ. And when we live a life that's in constant communication with the Lord, yielding to the Spirit's work in our lives and his promptings, we'll remain on the right path. Our minds will be focused on his plans and his purposes. And that's, you know, for each of us individually, our own individual purposes, so much so that it will be like we'll have spiritual blinders on, blocking our peripheral vision, right? We'll be forward focused, not allowing the world's ways to infiltrate us from the side. And honestly, Hannah, that's why I call my ministry A Woman Created on Purpose.
Yeah.
It's about the fact that
yeah.
you know that you were not only created on purpose, but also that your heart, soul, and mind are set on the purpose that he has for you. And you are determined to walk in it. So we're created on purpose and we're walking on purpose. And I call it a woman created on purpose, not because I'm talking about myself, although I do fall into that category, but I'm talking about you. You reader, you are a woman created on purpose. You were created on purpose and you can walk on purpose. Just be mindful of the things that the Lord is telling you to do and to live for Him.
Amen.
And then the last point I'll just share, and I think this one is a very huge practical one that is really on my heart to share, and how to overcome comparison. And it's honestly one that a lot of people don't like to hear, but I'm going to be the one to say it. Sometimes, ladies, we just need to take a break from social media. We just need to. We have to remember that social media just shares the highlights of others' lives. Their everyday does not look like that for them. We know this. We truly know this. Yet, we still get caught up in comparing our worst with someone else's best. So we need to start viewing messages on social media as sources of inspiration instead of condemnation.
Amen.
So often we view these picture perfect things on Pinterest, like birthday party ideas or home decor or DIY inspiration. And the things that are there are meant to inspire us. Yet what we do is we take these images and we use them as tools to condemn ourselves. We do things like start the retort in our minds. I wish I could do that. I wish I could decorate like that. Why didn't my son's birthday party look like that?
Yeah.
I wish I could lose weight by the same method she's doing. Why is it not working for me? Why am I not as good as fill in the blank? You know, we start to use it as a tool to condemn ourselves. So with social media, we need to just know when we can handle it. And we need to pay attention to how we feel as we're engaging with it. As I shared earlier with my story, we need to just be very mindful. You know, if you're starting to feel angst or uneasiness or even sadness when you're looking at it, take a step back.
Yeah.
It could be a sign that you're putting too much stock in it for your contentment. One thing that I do is I do my quiet time, my Bible study time in the morning, and I have a personal rule that I made for myself. And this is not like, you know, a standard or anything, but it works for me that I don't check my phone until after I'm done my Bible time. So that includes social media, emails, texts, all of those things. I keep my phone on do not disturb until a particular time in the morning. And so for you, you just may need to, you know, set some limits or block out specific times when you allow yourself to engage in social media, if that's something that is a struggle for you.
Yeah.
And then if it's still affecting your mental state and leading you to comparison and you believe that's what it is, then you may need to remove it altogether. I do that from time to time as well. I just take long breaks. And honestly, I'm not a huge, like, posting every day, you know, engaging every day anyway. However, there are times when I just need to take a step back,
sure,
take a couple weeks off, a few days, whatever it might be for you. But again, we need to know when we need to disengage with the things that are causing us to get into the comparison trap.
I agree with that completely. And I love that you said inspiration, not condemnation. You know, I think to a degree, it's wonderful to see what we would deem as someone doing better in something and use it as inspiration. For example, you use the whole fitness thing. Of course, you know, it's imperative that we take care of our physical bodies. But
right,
when it begins to cross that thin line where it's like, okay, I'm going from being inspired by this thing to then hurling condemnation, and then slipping into the three things that you mentioned earlier, discontentment or pride or envy. Now I'm becoming envious. Mm-hmm. Then those are kind of the red flags that it's going in the wrong direction.
Right.
So just being mindful.
Yes.
Very good. I love that list and how you put that together, Shanna. So in closing, tell listeners, where can they connect with you, Shanna? And how can they access this blog? Ladies, you guys are going to really love what Shanna has on her blog.
Oh, thank you. So my blog is called A Woman Created on Purpose, and the website is just awomancreatedonpurpose.com. And so you can find me there. I touch on the topics of faith, motherhood, and Christian living type of general topics. So you can connect with me there. You can also find me on Pinterest and YouTube. Both of those handles are A Woman Created on Purpose. And so that's where I interact the most. And yeah.
Great, great. Shanna, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for your willingness and all the wisdom that you shared with us. And before we close, as you guys have come to know now, I love to do a little lightning round at the end of my guest episodes. So I'd like to ask you a few this or that questions.
Okay.
Are you up to it?
Sure. This sounds fun. Let's do it.
Okay. So I'll start with, let's see, Friday nights or Saturday mornings?
Ooh. You know what? Saturday mornings. Now, do you just want a quick answer or do you want like an explanation?
Oh, no. You're absolutely welcome to share. Otherwise, quick is fine, but you are welcome to share if you want to elaborate.
No, I just love Saturday mornings because, you know, the hubby's home. He doesn't work on Saturday mornings and we're all together in the morning. We get to do breakfast together and it's just fun. So, yes.
We've established, I think I like both. I like Saturday mornings because that's like one of the days I get to sleep in because my husband is home. Mm-hmm. But I like Friday nights because for years now we've established a little family routine of, you know, we come together to do our Shabbat service together as a family. But then we have movie night. And so that's
nice.
I'm talking about movie night, but I don't stay up for movie night, Shanna. I cannot hang.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
So I will fall asleep during movie time or I'll sneak out and go to bed. But yeah, interesting. Saturday mornings are wonderful though. They really are.
Yeah.
Okay. Safety or opportunity?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say opportunity.
Okay.
And as long as the Lord in it, it's going to be safe anyway. So, yes. Hey, let's do it.
I love that. You get the best of both worlds.
Right.
I love that, Shanna. Okay. No eyelashes or no eyebrows?
Who came up with these questions, Hannah?
I have no idea.
I would say no eyelashes. No eyebrows. Just is very weird.
Yes, it is. It is. Okay. Playlists or podcasts?
Oh, I'd say playlists. I love to sing, so I can sing along.
Yes. Okay. And the last one. This is a funny one, too. Subtly stained clothes or obviously wrinkled clothes?
Subtly stained. That's pretty much my state most days with having a 3-year-old. So we'll rock with that.
Oh, yes. I think if you look at my sweater right now, I've got some stains going on. I got some food here. No, I get
just
it.
Roll with
I
it.
Get it. Yes. Shanna, thank you so much for humoring me.
Thank you for having me, Hannah. This was so much fun. So great.
Absolutely. And it's been wonderful. I'm so grateful for your willingness and for your time. And my prayer is that God continues to use you in this day and this time among his women to speak his truth and to lay it plain. I love the way that you break things down. As you already mentioned, you have a very practical approach. And that is so meaningful in helping women to digest the word of God. So I thank God for his gifting in your life, his unique fingerprint on you, and the work that he has set apart for you to complete while we are here. So God bless you, Shanna. Thank you so much for being on the She's Marked podcast.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Hannah. I appreciate everything that you're doing. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take great care.
Thanks.
Ladies, until next time. Dear listener, your support means everything. And without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in and be sure to leave a review. I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life. And I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime,
let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmark.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." The woman marked by God bears his seal, belongs to him, and is protected by him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore she is free.